Welcome to the latest episode of the Catalyst Health and Wellness Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bradford Cooper, and one of the most common questions we receive here at the Catalyst Coaching Institute is how to create growth. So for independent wellness coaches, they're asking how to grow their coaching business. For wellness program managers, they want to know how to get more momentum, more engagement from the employees that are supposedly doing their programs. So I look back over all the books I'd read on this topic for the past 20 years, and I found the perfect guest, Mr. Bob Berg. Mr. Berg has been helping individuals and organizations grow their businesses for 30 plus years. He's the best-selling author of multiple books, including the Go Giver series and Endless Referrals. Go Giver has sold close to 1 million copies and has been translated into 28 languages. Today, we'll be focused on providing you with practical tips on how to grow your business or the engagement in your program. Speaking of business, that's actually one of the two tracks available at the Rocky Mountain Coaching Retreat and Symposium here in Colorado next fall. Now, that's a long way off, so no rush. But if you know you're going to join us, or if you'd like to spread your registration cost over two different budget years here at the end of December, there is a, what we're calling a super early registration discount available through January 1st, and all the details about this really cool event are available at catalystcoachinginstitute.com. under the retreat tab. As always, feel free to reach out to us anytime with questions you have about the coaching certification, integrating more meaningful coaching into your organization's wellness strategy, or anything else on your mind. Results at catalystcoachinginstitute.com. Now, let's tap into the insights of Mr. Bob Berg on this episode of the Catalyst Health and Wellness Coaching Podcast. Bob Berg, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I read your books probably 20 years ago. I got them dog-eared in my bookshelf. I keep coming back to them. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. So out of the gate, you've influenced a lot of people, both individuals and organizations, through your books. Can you get us rolling by giving us the premise of both Endless Referrals and the Go Giver series, including the five laws that you talk about?
Sure. Well, the basic premise behind Endless Referrals, which was a how-to book for people who, you know, they loved what they did and they knew they brought significant value to their customers and clients, but they didn't really feel comfortable with going out and developing the kind of relationships that would result in new business and referrals. And as you know, you can have the greatest practice in the world. You can bring the most value to everyone you do business with. But if you're not able to have new people in front of you to learn about you and learn about how they can benefit from your services, you're not going to be in business for very long.
So exactly.
Endless Referrals was all about developing those relationships where, well, let's just say the premise was that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. Really, this is sort of the premise of the Go Giver, which is a business parable. But we would say here we would say that the basic premise is that shifting your focus from getting to giving, and when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, and understanding that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's actually the most financially profitable way as well.
Very well said.
It's all about focusing on that other person, not just through your products or services, but through in every aspect of that relationship building, from when you first meet that person, whether it's an outbound connection, you met this person at a local business social event or at a charity event or wherever it happens to be. It's from the time you first meet that person to the relationship building process, through the selling process, through the follow-up and follow-through, and then through the referral gathering process.
Excellent. Excellent. And then the five laws, just a quick summary for us. I know we'll be coming back to several of those.
Yeah, those are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. The law of value is really all about providing such an amazing experience with this, you know, for this person. Again, from the moment you first meet them through when you're actually doing business with them and obtaining referrals from them, providing such immense value that it's that they feel as though they're receiving much more than what they're paying, which is true, while you're also making a very, very healthy profit. Law number two, the law of compensation, says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So really, law number one says give more in value or use value than what you take in payment. Law number two tells us the more people whose lives you touch with the exceptional value you provide, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. Law number three, the law of influence, says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Now, this does not mean you're anyone's doormat or a martyr or self-sacrificial. Absolutely not at all. It's simply understanding that, again, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And, you know, there's simply no faster, more powerful, or more effective way to elicit those feelings from others toward you than by moving from what we call an I focus or me focus to an other focus. In other words, you're making your win all about their win. Law number four is the law of authenticity, which simply says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And part of that is really understanding that you bring so much authentic value to the table that you don't need to be selling on, trying to sell on low price or lowering your fees and so forth, but that you're selling on value.
Yeah.
Okay. That, and that's very important. I hope we can get to that a little later. And law number five is the law of receptivity, which says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. And this is nothing more than the fact that while you breathe out, you also have to breathe in. You know, we breathe out carbon dioxide, we breathe in oxygen, we breathe out, which is giving, we breathe in, which is receiving. And despite the messages from the world around us that are so negative regarding money and prosperity and abundance, the fact is giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin. They're not in opposition to one another. It's not, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're a giver and a receiver. But you understand that the focus is on the giving. This is why John David Mann, my co-author, and I say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder, if you will, to values lightning, which means nothing more than the value comes first. Of course, that's got to be your focus. But then the money you receive is simply a very natural result of the value you provide. And, you know, we know that so many people, especially when it comes to coaching and especially in health and wellness, really many times they do see providing that great value and making money as a dichotomy. And I want to take people out of that. It's a treacherous dichotomy. It's a false dilemma that either or. No, you should be providing immense value to your customers and clients, and you should be making a lot of money while you're doing it.
Very well said. Very well said. Well, that sets up the next question I had. There are really two critical areas for our listeners that you do a fantastic job addressing. There's growth, and then there's engagement. If we could start with growth. Now, whether somebody's a health and wellness coach trying to build their business, or maybe a manager looking to enhance the impact of their program, maybe a wellness program, maybe some other program, or someone who just wants to expand their positive influence when it comes to health and wellness with friends, family, people they're around, what guidance would you provide for that person that's focused first on growth, and then we'll come back to the engagement side?
Yeah, well, in terms of growth, referrals and introductions and recommendations are the best way to really grow your business and impact more people. There are several reasons why referrals are so important and so beneficial. One is that it's simply easier to set the appointment with a referred prospect, right? You're going in on borrowed influence. With a referred prospect, price or your fee is generally less of an issue because, again, that borrowed influence from another person, you're already established as a person of value.
Yes.
Third is it's simply easier to close the sale, if you will. And I want, you know, people who are in health and wellness coaching, you are in the business of selling your services. And I know that just kind of sounds so yucky to you, you know, because that happens to, right? But selling is a very positive thing. We'll go back to the referral aspect in a second, but let's talk about selling because yes. It's very important that you really feel good about being in sales, which you are. Now, see, you know, many people when they say, well, I don't like to sell, what they really mean is they don't like what they think selling is, right? That's that stereotypical,
yes.
You know, fast talking, slick walking sales guy, right? Who glad hands, backhand, slap hand, shakes hand, sticks business card, right? You know, and they think that selling is trying to convince someone to buy something they don't want or need. Well, that's not selling. That's called being a con artist. So that has nothing to do with selling, right? Selling is by definition simply discovering what the other person does want, need, or desire, and helping them to get it. And, you know, selling, it's interesting, the old English root of the word sell was selan, which meant to give. So when you're selling, you're literally giving. Now, someone might say, well, wait a second, isn't that just semantics? I don't think so, and here's why. Let's say you're in front of this person who's considering becoming a new client of yours. Well, you are in the sales process. So what are you giving them? If you're selling, what are you actually giving them? I suggest you're giving them time, attention, counsel, education, empathy, and ultimately significant value. So if this is what you're doing, you are in sales and you should be proud of that. And I want you to embrace that. So with that in mind, you know, that third benefit of a referred prospect is it's typically easier to complete the transaction or close the sale. This is from borrowed trust or what we call vicarious experience. Because no, this new person you're talking to hasn't been treated by you yet or hasn't been a client of yours yet, but someone who they know, like, and trust has said, yes, this is the person you want to go with. This is the person who will take good care of you. This is the person who has your best interests at heart. And that's very powerful. And the fourth benefit of a referred prospect is they're already of the mindset that that's how you do business because, well, that's how they met you. So in their model of the world, you meet new prospects through referral. You sell on high value rather than low price. You complete the transaction and you receive additional referrals. So that's why you really want to have referrals. Now, can we take a few minutes to discuss, you know, how to ask for referrals correctly so that you increase the chances of you receiving them?
That would be incredibly valuable. And I don't want to forget to ask you also, in addition to that individual growing their business, the person that's expanding an internal program. So they're running an organizational wellness program or human resources program that's diving into the wellness piece, and they're wanting to engage more employees in the process. So we can touch on that later. I just don't want to forget to come back to that because what you're giving us is so valuable.
Sure. Well, thank you. So, you know, let's say you have this person in front of you and they're a very happy client. And what I'm going to suggest, instead of just going right into asking for referrals, I'm going to suggest something I call the referral bridge or bridge phrase. What is a bridge? Well, in the physical world, a bridge is a structure that transports you from one safe piece of land to another safe piece of land. In this case, the bridge is a phrase that transports you from one safe piece of land, the know, like, and trust relationship, to another safe piece of land where you can ask for referrals in such a way that both you and your client, now referral source, potential referral source, both feel very, very comfortable with the process. And then once you attain their buy-in for referrals, now you'll be able to ask in the appropriate way, which we'll also go through. So the referral bridge might be, let's say your client's name is Dave, and you might say, Dave, I'm in the process, or you could even say, I'm doing a lot more of my business now, or focusing a lot more of my business through referrals. And I find it's helpful to partner with my friends and clients such as you. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names of some other people I might also be able to help? Now, let's go through this kind of section by section and look at why it's such a powerful phrase to utilize. So you start out by saying, I'm in the process of expanding my referral business, or I'm focusing more and more building my business through referrals. And okay, you're kind of letting this person know what you're doing. And I find it helpful to partner. Partner's a key word because you're giving them ownership, partnership within your success. I find it's helpful to partner. And again, helpful shows, helpful, but not, you're not desperate, right? It's helpful to, and notice how we're saying this in a very calm, very, you know, we're saying this with posture, which is that lack of emotional attachment to the result. If they provide referrals, great, we prefer it, but we're not attached to it. So if they don't, our sense of happiness and peace of mind is not going to be affected. The neat thing about this is the more posture you have, the greater the chances are they're going to feel so comfortable that it's going to be a lot easier to attain referrals. So
sure,
I'm in the process of, or I'm doing more and more of my business with a focus on referrals. I find it's helpful to partner with my friends and clients such as you. Now, the next part of this is key. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names? Now, what we've used here is what I call fast language or quick language. You're not saying it quickly. You're not rushing through it, but the words you're using imply correctly that you're respecting their time. Okay. You're not going to take up a lot of their time. So listen to these fast words. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past, and then the names of some other people I might also be able to help? Now, notice I said who I might also be able to help. The reason why we use the word might is we want to let them know that, you know, we're fine if they are interested, and we're also fine if they're not interested, right? Because we know that not everyone's going to be. And what you're really doing is you're letting this person know, you're letting your referral source know that there's never going to be any pressure on anyone they refer to you. Because, you know, that's a key reason why people sometimes don't want to refer people to others, they think, right? And so we're just letting them know. We're giving them that out or back door. That out is the, you know, emotional escape hatch, because people want to be in control of their decisions, which they should be. And so when we say, who I may or may not be able to help, that really gives them peace of mind. So let's just run through it one more time. I'm in the process of expanding my referral business, or I'm building my business now with a bigger focus on referrals and introductions, you know, however you want to say it. And I find it's helpful to partner with my friends and clients such as you. Can we take a few quick minutes and run past the names of some other people I might also be able to help? Now, if by some chance they say, well, I don't know if I know anybody or whatever, you just, you know, you listen and you let them finish. You don't interrupt and you're not defensive at all, but you simply say, oh, that's fine. I'm going to give you a couple of really easy ways to think of some people who you feel might benefit. And if you do, great. If not, we can always maybe do it another time. So again, you're very cool about it, and you're very, you know, there's no anxiety here. There's
no emotion.
Right. But the chances are they're going to say, yeah, sure. Now, here's where most people make a mistake. And believe me, I did the same thing when I first began in sales. And that is to say, who do you know who might be, or, you know, do you know anybody who might be interested? And what they'll usually say when you ask that way, and I'll tell you why in a moment, they'll usually respond by really thinking about it and then saying, well, I can't think of anybody right now, but when I do, I'll let you know.
Right.
And they probably won't let you know, only because they are now going on with their own life and they're not thinking of you, you know? And so, but it's really not their fault, because when we say, do you know anybody who, or who do you know? You know, we all know about 250 to 300 people, both directly and indirectly. And so when we ask a general question, who do you know, or do you know anyone who, a collage of 250 to 300 people just kind of dance through their head, you know, past their mind, and they can't really distinguish anyone. And it's frustrating to them. They feel bad because they want to help. Remember, they know, like, and trust you, and they want to help their friends who would benefit from your services. And so it's frustrating, and then it's, you know, and nothing's going to happen. So instead, let's take the advice of Tom Hopkins, who in his book, and I remember reading this in his book about 40 years ago. His book is called How to Master the Art of Selling. And he devoted all of about a half page to this one thing, but I've got to tell you, it is one of the most powerful, powerful principles that you can possibly utilize. And what he talked about was gently helping people funnel down their world into small groups of people they could easily identify. And then what we're really doing in this case is we're helping create the context for them to be victorious and be able to come up with names as opposed to be frustrated. So let me, can we run through just a scenario or two?
That'd be great. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So what did I say? Your client's name was Jim or Dave or something like that. We'll say Dave. And so we say, and we know Dave is a golfer, and we say, Dave, I know you love to golf. And he says, oh yeah, I'm out there every Sunday afternoon. Well, do you play with different people every time or the same people? Oh no, same people every time. Harry Brown, Michael Cloud, Dr. Mary Ruart, the four of us, we have been golfing buddies for years. Well, boom, he has just now identified three people. So now we might say, would Harry or Michael or Dr. Mary, do you feel any of them would be open to, or however, and this is sure. Where, you know, your expertise, yeah, in terms of asking of how you would actually phrase the question, but you know, and maybe one of them, maybe two of them, all three of them, maybe none of them, but he's now feeling confident that he can come up with names because you've set him up to succeed. So now let's go. We know Dave is also a member of his local Rotary Club. And again, we don't ask, is there anyone in your Rotary? Because it could be too big a club. So we say, is there anyone in your Rotary who you sit next to every time, or who you're particularly good friends with, or maybe serve on a committee with? So again, this now, you know, brings it down to two people or so that he comes up with right away. You know, Mary Johnson and Tom Smith. And so now we ask about either of them. And again, maybe both of them, one of them, none of them. Let's go to another. You know, we know that he's also chair of his local Humane Society. And we say, how many serve on the board with you, Dave? He says, oh, there's myself and four others. Well, four is a good number. So we maybe ask him, Dave, thinking of the people on your board, all four of them, just one at a time, which of them, if any, and again, if any, is that, you know, that out or that back door, if sure. any, do you feel might be good candidates for, or who would, you know, welcome my call, or who would be, you know, how, again, however, and again, it may, but here's the thing, within those frames, he's going to come up with a name or two. And once he does, and now his confidence is up, now, you know, that one or two people, that's going to remind him of other people, and he's going to feel very easy about it. And remember, you can keep asking in terms of frames. You can even go to his alphabet list of job classifications. A, who does he know who's an automobile salesperson, or B, a banker, C, chiropractor, D, dentist. I'm putting these out there, but you know, there's always a time and place as to how many you ask and how long, and it, you know, it depends on different things. But that's basically how you would help that person to provide you with really good, high quality referrals.
Beautiful. That's so helpful. Thanks for bringing this kind of little more specific example there, because I think people can get their arms around that very well. Yeah. Very well done. All right. So the second part, and this ties a little bit into what I was talking about on the program side too, engagement. So you get the growth underway, and now how do we keep engagement? Or for that person who's a program director, how do they get engagement? So they've got, you know, 1,000 employees, and they're wanting to have more participate in the wellness program. They want to get this up to where it's 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 people. Any thoughts from some of your information that might be helpful for them in that situation?
Well, it's very important that we, you know, we understand that this is where influence comes in. Because you think about the term influence, and on a very, very basic level, influence can be defined as the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. And this is what you want to move people to do, to become engaged, right? And, you know, that's the definition of influence, but I don't think it's the essence of influence. The essence of influence is pull as opposed to push, which is why great influencers don't push, right? It's that old saying, how far can you push a rope? And we all know the answer is not very far, at least not very fast, right? Or very effectively. That so great influencers don't push. Really, influence is pull. It's an attraction. And this is what the best influencers do. They and really what they do is they attract people first to themselves and only then to their ideas. And the best influencers understand something very, very basic about human nature. And this was pointed out in Dale Carnegie's classic, How to Win Friends and Influence People, written back in the 1930s. And I believe this one statement is the underlying premise of Carnegie's fabulous book. And that is this, that ultimately people do things for their reasons, not our reasons.
Exactly.
So the great influencer, what we call the genuine influencer, is always asking themselves questions to make sure their own focus is correct, that their focus is outward. In other words, it's asking themselves, how does what I'm asking this other person to do, how does it align with their goals, right? How does it align with their wants, with their needs, with their desires? How does what I'm asking how does what I want this person to do, or these lots of people to do, how does it align with their values? What problems am I helping them to solve? How am I making their lives better? How am I bringing value to them in a way that they see it as being of value? Because value is always in the eyes of the beholder. So when we understand this and we ask ourselves these questions thoughtfully, intelligently, genuinely, authentically, not as a way to manipulate another person or group of people into doing our will,
sure,
but as a way of benefiting them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's when we've come a lot closer to earning their commitment, as opposed to trying to depend on some type of compliance, which at best is unsustainable. And at worst, will actually cause people to sabotage the situation consciously or unconsciously.
Excellent. Excellent. Love it. All right. So one of the most common questions we get from our graduates, people that go through the Wellness Coach certification, is how do I get started? So they've learned how to coach, but now they need clients to coach, mm-hmm. or they're in an employee setting, they're running a program, and they need people to participate. You've talked about the broader perspective on this and the attraction tied to the influence. Any thoughts, any advice you give right out of the gate to somebody in that situation that is literally standing at the other side of that bridge and saying, but Bob, how do I start? What's my starting point?
Well, to the person who's in practice for themselves, you've got to start meeting people and you've got to start building your sphere of influence. Hopefully you have one to start with where you can contact people and let them know what you're doing and what you're looking to accomplish and how what you do benefits others. And you, from some of those people, some may become customers or clients, but what you're really looking to do is really benevolently leverage their sphere of influence and attain referrals that way. And that's a good way to start. But you also need to be going out and meeting people, and you need to put yourself around people who might either be potential prospective clients or great referral sources. And this can be everything from the stereotypical Chamber of Commerce, business card exchange,
sure,
which most people think, well, those don't work. Well, the reason they don't work is because most people approach them with a go-taker attitude. It's
right.
It's just going there, handing out business cards, talking about yourself and your services and so forth. Whereas what you want to do is when you go to one of these, and again, it can be that, it could be your kid's ball game, it can be a charity event, it can be a regular social get together. But when you meet someone, it's to focus on that person. And this is going to make it a lot easier for you because, again, as a health coach, as a wellness coach, as somebody, you just don't feel comfortable. And this is where, by the way, this is to your advantage. You don't feel comfortable talking about yourself and about what you do and trying to sell yourself.
Right.
So
right.
What I'm going to do is suggest that instead, during this first conversation, you simply focus on the other person, okay? And ask this person questions about themselves and about their business. So let's say you meet Ellen, and Ellen sells copying machines. That's what she does. She's vice president of sales for Acme Office Products, and you ask her what she does, and she tells you, "I sell copying machines for Acme, you know, vice president of sales," and blah, 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 blah. And she gives you her big elevator speech and the whole thing. Just listen politely and so forth when she asks you what you do. But just, you don't have to come up with any kind of benefit statement, elevator, nothing like that. Just say you're, you know, a health and wellness coach or whatever you want to say. But remember, don't give her anything that's over the top, because she's not interested right now in you and your business. And she's interested in herself and her business. So the best thing you can do is invest 99.9% of the conversation with Ellen, asking her questions about herself and her business. So I have what I call feel-good questions, and they're just what they sound like. They're not salesy, they're not prospecty, they're not intrusive, they're not invasive. They simply make this other person feel good about herself, about the conversation, and about you. And it totally takes the pressure off of you. And so the first question you might ask is, "Ellen, how did you get started selling copying machines?" Or "How did you get started as an office products professional?" It's a little more elegant way of asking. And, you know, this is not a clever question. It's not a slick question. People love talking about themselves, because, hey, who else asked them to share their story, right? Their own family hasn't asked them to share their story of how they got started in their business. But you have this person who they just met. Yeah. Now, the next question, the next feel-good question is sort of a follow-up to that. And it sounds something like this. What do you enjoy most about what you do? Or, you know, wow, you know, you must have had some fascinating experiences. What do you enjoy most about your work? Now, this is a question, again, that just by its very nature is feel good, right? Sure. How can someone not feel good answering that question? Now, so you've asked a couple of these questions. Now here's what I'm going to now suggest, is that you ask what I call the one key question that will separate you from practically everyone this person has ever met. It's not one of the feel-good questions. It's its own separate question. And it goes something like this. "Ellen, how can I know if somebody I'm speaking with would be a good client for you? How can I know if somebody I'm speaking with would be a good client or, you know, good customer for you?" What have you done when asking that question? Well, again, you've continued to show her that rather than being the typical person who's just focused on themselves and selling their product or service, you absolutely are looking out for her best interest. You're looking to bring value to her life. And by the way, you can also, a really elegant way of asking that question is to lead into it by saying, "You know, Ellen, I always love connecting good people with other good people. Tell me, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with is a good client for you?" And, you know, she'll just be amazed that you've asked that question. And so in notice, you have, you know, not put any of the focus on yourself. It's all been about her. Yeah. And she'll either, you know, ask you again to tell her more about what you do, because now she's a lot more interested in you. But even if that doesn't happen, what you want to do is you want to get her business card, because you're going to follow up by sending a personalized handwritten thank you note that very night, so it gets there the next day, or the next day, so it gets there the day after. And, you know, the note's going to simply say, "Hi, Ellen. It was a pleasure meeting you. If I can ever refer business your way, I certainly will. Best regards," and then sign your name and put a number 10 envelope, handwrite the envelope, blue ink, hand stamp. Oh, by the way, some people might be thinking, well, what if she's not in sales? So if you say, you know, a prospect, that might not be something. It doesn't matter. The same principle applies. It would be, how can I know if someone I'm speaking with is someone you'd like to meet or would be a good connection for you? Perfect. So we stay with the principle. So again, this is just a little kind of tip of the iceberg type of thing, but it shows you how to get started in the relationship building process. And remember, it's all about relationships and you're going to follow up and follow through by keeping in touch. By the way, you can certainly connect online on social media, but what you always want to do is just always be asking yourself, how can I bring value to this person in a way this person will understand it to be of value? And it's typically not about what you do, but more about what they do. And eventually, and this could be 2 weeks, 2 months, 1 week, 6 months, whatever, when you feel as though the relationship is at the point where this person knows, likes, and trusts you, now you can contact this person about perhaps your services, or talk about getting together to maybe talk about each other's business and mutually referring people. Or it just might be, depending upon what this person does, that you let this person know that you're in the process of expanding your referral business and you find it's helpful to partner with your friend. You would just say, in this case, your friends, such as you, because she's not your client yet. And can we take a few minutes over coffee to look at some people who I might be able to help? Something, whatever that happens to be. So, but again, that's just the first part of developing those relationships to the point that the know, like, and trust is developed.
Bob, this is so good. This is exactly what people have been asking for. So thank you. I want to be cognizant of your time, so we'll just wrap it up. Any final words of wisdom that you'd like to share with anyone who's trying to expand their influence in this world of health and wellness, whether it's friends, their organization, or as an independent wellness coach? Anything else you want to throw in that I haven't teed up with the right question?
Well, I remember after I'd been in sales a couple of years and had some success, but I certainly wasn't at the point where I should have been. And I was working for a company at the time, and I came back to the office kind of disgusted at myself for not having completed a sale, which really should have happened because the person could have really benefited from the product I was selling. And I remember one of the older guys there, he wasn't even in sales. I don't know exactly what he did, but he was really a nice guy. One of these guys didn't say much, but whenever he did say anything, it was generally pretty profound. And he said to me, "Berg, can I give you some advice?" And I said, "Sure, please do." And he said, "If you want to make a lot of money in business, in sales," he said, "don't have making money as your target. Your target," he said, "is serving others. Now, when you hit the target, you'll get a reward, and that reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget," he said, "the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It ain't the target itself. Your target is serving others." And what I took away from that is the understanding that great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. And it's not even about the product or service, as important as your product or service is. It's always about the other person and how they are going to benefit from it. And as long as you keep that in mind, you're always 9 steps ahead of the game in a 10-step game.
Bob, what a great way to wrap up. Thank you so much. So much wisdom. I appreciate you jumping on. Again, I know your schedule is tight, so appreciate you making time for us. And the best way for folks to keep an eye on you, is there a Twitter account or a website you'd like to have them go to?
Yeah, I would say go to berg.com, BURG.com, and there's information on my books. You can always get a chapter to look at it, look through it first to see if you like where it's headed, then click through. Also, if you go to the blog, berg.com/blog, I have a series of videos up there that you can watch. In which I really take you through the process. We call it, endless referrals, the go-giver way.
Excellent.
And I actually take you through all the steps of cultivating these relationships so you can go back and kind of watch them. They're all about 2 to 3 minutes in length.
Perfect. That is perfect. What a great reference. Thank you, sir. Thanks for jumping on, and we'll definitely keep an eye on things.
Oh, thanks for all the great work you're doing. I appreciate you.
You can see why he's such a popular speaker and consultant, can't you? Obviously, there's so much more in his books, but I love the way he took us through some of those key elements of making the connection, that relationship, the emphasis. As he mentioned, none of us like to sell, but if we're going to make a difference in this world, we've got to connect the dots between the needs of people and how we might be able to help. I loved how Bob did such a good job of walking us through that process, which focuses on the other person, just as you do in coaching, not trying to push something on them that they don't need. I hope this was helpful to you. We've been light on guests addressing the business side of health and wellness, so Mr. Berg was actually the first of three heavy hitters who will fill that gap between now and late February, so stay tuned for that if that's an interest for you. If one of your goals is to pursue your wellness coach certification and the national board exam, please be aware the requirements for the MBHWC board certification expand quite significantly when we get into late 2020. So now might be a good time to get the ball rolling if that's a direction you're going. Now, we keep our fast track weekends small. It's a max of 24 people. So we have front loaded two of them in early 2020, if that's a route you're going, to give more people an opportunity to get the ball rolling. The first one is February 8th and 9th. The second one is April 4th and 5th. And the detail, all the details, and the 6-month no interest payment option, if that's helpful to you, is available at catalystcoachinginstitute.com. Now it's our turn. How are we going to take this information and make a bigger influence in this world? What hashtag better than yesterday will occur as a result of me listening to this episode? I've got some ideas. I hope you do too. Thanks again for joining us. Please always feel free to reach out to us at results@catalystcoachinginstitute.com if you need anything at all. This is Dr. Bradford Cooper signing off. Make it a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you soon on the next episode of the Catalyst Health and Wellness Coaching Podcast.